All right, it's amazing how often we're told that there's just no there. You know, like that thing that we knew, but then they told us that we really didn't know it. You know, like, not really. Yeah. Like that time that a New York Times podcast host named Kara Swisher a few years ago asserted that there was no evidence of political bias against conservatives occurring on social media platforms. A claim that was reiterated quite frequently by Democrat lawmakers and liberal media personalities. I mean, no evidence whatsoever, right? Just didn't happen. Nothing to see here. Everybody move along. Never mind that the former president of the United States, the Babylon Bee, and a host of others were all locked out, either temporarily or completely, from various social media platforms right about that time. I suddenly lost visibility of a Facebook account that had thousands of followers. No. You didn't see what you thought you saw. For the love, people. Calm down. But then we had, like, the staging of a veritable coup d'etat when Elon Musk bought Twitter, renamed it X, and suddenly we got to see it all. In vivid technicolor. Everything that we knew, that they said that we didn't know, was suddenly spilling out into the public arena. It got even funnier. Sometimes sad, but funny at the same time. At the same time, I wouldn't say it's funny, ha-ha. It's more like funny, weird. It was very demonstrable. Remember when Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy gave access to Tucker Carlson's staff over 40,000 hours of closed-circuit footage of the events around the U.S. Capitol on the infamous date of the insurrection of January 6, 2021? 2 years after the fact, we finally got to see 40,000 hours of closed-circuit footage. Where had that been all this time? 2 years of time during which we were told that the most infamous of days, the attempted coup of the U.S. government, the threats against the lives and well-being of innocent lawmakers who just want to make the laws and live in peace, that day, January 6th, a day that will live in infamy, there was nothing else to see. There was nothing you needed to know, nothing exculpatory, certainly. It was just what it was. It was detention, it was trials, it was convictions of those heinous, misguided individuals who colluded and conspired to overthrow the United States government. But now that trials and the convictions are complete for many, now that the plea bargains and political lynchings were already begun, now that we had that which we were told there was no reason to be able to see, we got to see it. And much of what it shows was a group of people walking around the Capitol building, taking selfies, shaking hands with security guards and Capitol Police. Were there problems that day? Certainly, there were. And there were people who committed acts of violence who never should have. But the reality is, the vast number of lives that were torn apart were nothing like what we were told they were. And I'm thankful that President Trump issued a pardon for all of those. Look, here's the bottom line, though. Back to my point about we know what we know, but we're being told to pretend that we don't know it. Look, we're not always right as conservatives. I get that. But generally speaking, we see things pretty clearly. Clear as day, often. But the left wants us to believe that we are wrong for labeling truth as truth. I mean, surely they must think that we're skulls full of mush, easily manipulated for them to be able to consistently place revisionist history in front of us and expect that we're going to find it somehow palatable. Well, there's an officially unofficial name for this. It's called gaslighting. It's a thing. Gaslighting. Some people, in my military experience, will call it psyops. Some call it misleading. Some call it psychological abuse. I would actually call it lying. First of all, understand this. Gaslighting, the term, is considered in clinical circles as a form of psychological manipulation. It's used in the midst of like an abusive relationship. Let that sink in for a minute. Gaslighting is used in an abusive relationship. So yeah, gaslighting, it's a means by which the abuser attempts to sow self-doubt and confusion in their victim's mind. It's a means by which one individual seeks to gain power and control over another by distorting reality and forcing them to question their own judgment and their intuition. Sound familiar? Well, the term gaslighting, if you're not familiar, it comes from a 1938 play called Angel Street that Alfred Hitchcock then later adapted into a film called Gaslight. In the movie, a man tries to convince his wife that she's going insane so he could steal from her. When he turns on the lights in the attic to look for her jewelry collection, the gas lights downstairs dim and she sees it, and when she asks about it, he tells her it's all in her imagination. Gradually, she begins to question her own memories, her own perceptions. But the term, though, over time, has become way more normalized. It's part of pop culture. It's part of the daily vernacular. It's used often to describe what happens when the public discourse or political speeches or social media censoring or any other form of dialogue works to create an alternate like view of coupled with an insulting or canceling or threatening of the person with the opposite view. We've seen a lot of that in recent years, like a lot. Some might call it spin. Some might call it just, you know, the other side of the story. I would call it a lie. Gaslighting. Psychological operations. The distorting of truth to gain the upper hand. The means by which someone in an abusive relationship tries to feed a narrative to somebody else. If you're wondering how to tell if somebody's gaslighting you, consider this. There is actually a list of identifiers. In clinical terms, they actually have identifiers for whether someone is gaslighting someone else. So, how about this? Like, lying about or denying something or refusing to admit the lie even when you show them the proof? Yeah. Even to the point of insisting that an event or behavior you witnessed never happened, you're remembering it wrong. Mr. President, why does your administration have to walk back all your words? Nobody's walking back anything, said Joe Biden. Right. How about this one? Changing the subject or refusing to listen when confronted about a lie or a gaslighting behavior. Karine Jean-Pierre, who's about to write a book, Karine Jean-Pierre would say things in press conferences like, we're done here, next question. That's the same thing. That's being confronted with a lie and then refusing to deal with the subject at hand. How about this one? When they tell you that you're overreacting when you call them out. Like, you know, Antifa wants to burn that restaurant. Who are we to complain? Or how about this one? Twisting a story to minimize their own behavior. I can think of a lot of examples. One of the ones that comes to my mind is the pullout from Afghanistan. It was a beautiful thing. We airlifted more people than the history of, like, ever. Sure, that's what it was, a beautiful thing. Here's another one, one more for the list. Separating you from others in order to keep you from contacts who can help you see clearly. Ooh, think about that. Sort of like cancel culture trying to cut you out of your normal circle of friends. Punishment for not towing the line. Or how about this? Like when the old Twitter, before Elon Musk got it, when the old Twitter would deplatform you, cut you away from all the other people that had their opinions or who didn't need to hear your opinions. Didn't match the approved narrative. So yeah, those are actual criteria by which they measure whether or not gaslighting is happening in a clinical setting. But we see it every day, every single day. And for the last 4 years, we saw a lot of it. Remember a couple of years ago when President Biden literally took a question from Fox News' Peter Doocy? He was asked about the constant walkbacks that his staff was having to provide to clean up his errant comments on things like Ukraine. The first thing out of his mouth when the president heard the question, he said, nobody's walking back anything. Oh. Doocy then gaffed him a list of the three major gaffes from the previous 72 hours. Chemical weapons responding in kind, U.S. troops going to Ukraine, Putin should not remain in power, all of which were said. His response, none of those three things ever happened. Now, we also know, by the way, that part of the biggest gaslighting in the world was the fact that maybe Joe Biden didn't remember he'd even said those things. I'll get to that in a minute. But in that particular case, we had not only the video and the audio proof that they did occur, but we also had a photo of a cheat sheet that he was holding in his hands that his staff had prepared for him. And yet he still couldn't address the question as something that had ever really happened. But look, it's not just in D.C. with Democrats. I remember just not so long ago, Alabama's governor race. A campaign ad came on for Governor Kay Ivey. You may have seen it. A couple of good old boys riding the gun range loading up their Glock, talking about their favorite governor, Kay Ivey, of course. And in the course of their scripted gaslighting, they literally talked about how she stood up to the Biden administration on COVID mandates. Hello? She didn't do a thing. She made some mean statements and refused to take action. She refused to call the legislature in to give relief to the people. And the State House and the Senate had to take matters in their own hands, pass a vaccine passport bill, after which she took credit. She was even sued for shutting down businesses unnecessarily. Meanwhile, Florida, South Dakota, several others, they took actual gubernatorial action in a variety of ways. It's a gaslighting campaign ad if I ever saw one. Look, I got to tell you, when I was in public office, I had both supporters and detractors, right? There were those who stood by me and with me, and there were those who looked for an opportunity to attack, any opportunity. It was actually amazing to encounter what the late Rush Limbaugh called low-information voters. People who would act with their lack of understanding fully intact, like they didn't even care. At the same time, you realize sometimes they were the victims of gaslighting. Sometimes they were operating out of a sense of ignorance. But I will say this too, the low information voter is someone who sometimes has to literally want to choose the lie, like they need that lie. That lie supports their agenda, so I'm going with the lie no matter what happens. Rush Limbaugh once said, he said, I have never said that low information voters are stupid. I just said they don't know what they think they know. He said, they are prisoners to the media, which has dumbed them down, and they're all over the place, he said. Look, in my own experience, there were times when it was comical. In my state Senate district, I had Cherokee County in Northeast Alabama. Cherokee County included the beautiful Weiss Lake, the crappie capital of the world. Weiss Lake had perpetual problems, though, with some upstream contaminants that would float down from the textile mills in Georgia. So I worked often with state and local officials on issues that related to Weiss Lake, which leads me, by the way, to an email that I received one day, one which was also copied to members of the press. The message came from one of my local activists about Weiss Lake. I'll just call him Tom. So in this particular case, old Tom was being rather opinionated, rather sure of himself, and in the email copied to the press, he began to rip into me, telling me I hadn't done enough for Weiss Lake. And then he related that he had recently been in Huntsville, heard me on talk radio, discussing giving a grant to a hockey team, he said. In Tom's view, which he related vociferously to the press, if I had enough time to help out with a hockey team, then I could make more time for Weiss Lake. So I smiled, cracked my knuckles, and commenced typing, ensuring that I copied all the members of the media again. Tom, I said in my email, you may not be aware, but there are two of us in the state legislature with the same name, Phil Williams. The other guy is my good friend, the Phil Williams who serves in the House from Huntsville. I hear he's a big fan of hockey. And then I commenced to remind Tom of the truth. Oh, by the way, and all the media. And I told him about all the things I'd done to help with Weiss Lake over the years. Within minutes, I mean, if you can stammer while you're typing, I'm getting a apology back in an email. But my favorite moment, though, came when one of the members of the media chimed in and wrote, ain't it funny what people don't know they don't know? Yeah, sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it ain't. I mean, too often we get just the opposite. I mean, to his credit, in that story I just told you, Tom realized his error. He recanted. But far too often, though, folks stick with that storyline. Like I said, we can tell them how wrong they are, and we can demand that, you know, we get the other side of the story. But when the facts come out, they need that story. And so they choose to play dumb and leave us to pick up the pieces. So the gaslighting comes out, but the gaslighting also feeds a narrative that one side needs and wants, and the gaslighting becomes a movement. And that, my friends, describes the cleanup that is underway right now in the wake of the greatest combined act of political subterfuge ever committed on U.S. soil. Because, as of 2 days ago, as I record this, the Biden White House is now officially under investigation. I mean, Trump took office with the goal of cleaning things up, and Lord, he had a lot of work to do. I mean, the amount of mess that was made in 4 years is just on an epic scale. But what we're also finding is that more and more and more, we're beginning to believe that it was really bureaucrats and unelected officials working in the Biden White House who were making policy, using the auto pen to sign executive orders, issuing pardons, changing things that had, you know, demonstrable effect upon our economy. The storyline, though, that we were fed over and over again, the gaslighting, if you will, was that Joe Biden was sharp as a tack, able to run rings around his staff, fully in command of the White House, running the free world with an authoritative hand. But we could see it. We could plainly see the problems. Oh, don't worry, that was just a speech impediment. You know old Joe, just old Joe being old Joe, they said too often. He's just a charming, witty, self-deprecating public servant. Never mind how many times he literally fell down in public or lost his train of thought or couldn't find his way off the stage or took another vacation weekend or called a lid on his day at 2:30 in the afternoon. Look, we could see it. but we were told not to see it. And there was a media that was complicit with the lies, that did everything it could to provide air cover for the infirmity writ large. It did not matter that he held the nuclear codes. It did not matter that he held sway over the largest government in the world. It did not matter that the economy suffered, or foreign policy was failing, or military readiness was downgraded, or that supply chain disruptions were increasing. The story was the emperor had some new clothes and we were all told to get on board. It was an amazing thing, though, to confidently know something so obvious we could see it with our own eyes, and yet still watch that obfuscation just continue. There was no shame at all as the White House and its media cohorts extolled the strength and the stamina of the man that most of us knew could no longer even be trusted to have car keys. Anybody who believed the lies, though, like I said, they did so at the denial of what their own eyes were telling them. They were low-information voters who were fed a lie. And yet, they had to have chosen the lie. And again, it's because the lie was what they needed. The lie was their validation. Well, now the books are coming out. The tell-all exposés, shameless, absolutely shameless. The Circular Firing Squad just got an advance payment from the publishing house, I guess. Everybody knew what no one told that everybody lied about. And now they publish. It was just announced, though, that the investigation has indeed begun into the inner workings of the former Biden White House. An effort is going to be made to determine, here's the quote, you ready? Quote, whether certain individuals conspired to deceive the public about Biden's mental state and unconstitutionally exercise the authorities and responsibilities of the president. You think? I am so glad. I am hopeful. I am hoping right now that the riches that are gained from these tell-all book sales are having to be spent on legal fees defending the indictments that are sure to come down from Attorney General Pam Bondi and the various U.S. attorneys who are going to be engaged on this. It's been the most egregious usurpation of elected authority in the history of the world. And the American people, we deserve to know who knew what and when. Who was running our country? Who had the passcodes to the auto pen? Who decided to pardon and or commute thousands of sentences? Who really shut down our energy production? Did Biden really sign those executive orders? Somebody needs to be held to account. Because it was not politics, my friend. It wasn't. It was a lie. It was a lie that was so bad, you had to choose to believe it. It was a lie they worked to gaslight people. They did all they could to create the narrative that things were different than what they were. Gaslighting is real. I gave you the description earlier. Gaslighting is what happens when one person in a relationship abusively attempts to create a fabricated story about reality in order to gain the upper hand with the other. And that's exactly what they were doing. It was an abusive position they were taking by trying to control the narrative. But we saw through it. And those who didn't, it was so bad, it was so obvious, they literally had to choose to believe it. Look, don't let them fool you. Don't let them cajole you. Don't let them threaten you. If you saw it, if you're a witness, if you know that you know that you know, then refuse to be taken out of that warm light of truth and shuttled off to a dimly lit, gaslit room. It's a passage in Scripture in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John are standing before the Pharisees and they're told, don't you ever speak in the name of Jesus again. And Peter told them, whether or not it is right for me to speak in the name of Jesus, you can be your own judge, but I cannot stop speaking what I've seen and heard. He knew it. He had seen it. He had heard it. And you couldn't make him stop seeing it or hearing it in his mind and then repeating it from his lips. Well, some call it gaslighting. Some call it abusive behavior. Some just call it political spin. That's all it was. All the same, at the very least, I call it a lie. Know what you know. Stand by it. Because lying liars will lie about lying. That's my philosophy.